Ray, we just watched episode 9. What did you think?
That was a 10 out of 10 episode. I am absolutely blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Literally and yep. otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
Yeah. What a great balancing of the cosmic scales that was delivered by this primordial creature just looking straight in the eyes of this farce.
Yeah.
And like sizing it up and being like, you are shit.
And it's just like, you're such tryhards.
Yeah, yes.
This is a garbage coronation. You dare lock me up a dragon? Like, do you know the power?
Oh, yes.
We like, you want to see power?
Mm-hmm.
This is power.
Oh, look
this
at little,
is why yeah. we rule this kingdom.
Look at little Aegon with his like
yeah.
little sword. I mean,
you can tell yeah. it's like he, you know, I think the people at this point kind of know who he is, that he's this reluctant boy. Like, I don't think he wants this
yeah.
role. He doesn't want to rule. He doesn't want to be king. And so, but I will say, I think Aemon took some notes from that, didn't he?
He really did. And he, unmoving. Mm. Aemon the Unmoving, almost. Mm-hmm. So observant. Mm-hmm. And he very, very much loved her energy of coming in with her dragon.
Yeah, I think he respects,
strength her.
And
yeah.
force. And that is his family. He's a yeah. Targaryen.
I think he recognized that more. Because I think he's trapped in some ways. Some people are saying, well, they've got a daemon on both sides, don't they? Because Aemond mm-hmm. is his mother's son. Mm-hmm. And there's the assumption that, because they're called the Greens and the Blacks, you know, Alicent.
Oh, my God.
Ray, go.
Just Princess Rhaenys.
I just wanted to bring up, we can
Holy
actually watch it live.
Crap.
I know. We'll just watch it now.
It's I can't.
The preview of the next one.
I actually can't.
Wasn't it triumphant? That's what you want to see.
I also just want to do a massive, massive shout out to the director of these episodes, Claire.
Mm-hmm.
She's directed a couple, but even the way that the episode began.
Oh, the aftermath.
You know, the life being snuffed out of these halls. You know, we yeah. saw these like sort of dark corridors where Viserys, you know, his energy, his spirit used to live on. Yeah. Even the cinematography, Ramin Djawadi's, Ramin's music is haunting and beautiful as always. But yeah, I was just telling you, I was like, it's such a try-hard coronation.
It was so awful.
You know, yeah. there was like no music and it was spectacular in scale. and then all you could hear was just people coughing in the audience.
A big fuss.
I was like, what is this? So, yeah. Oh my gosh.
She has been waiting. She has been a spring mm-hmm. getting tighter and tighter wound.
Yeah.
And finally in episode 9, she is unleashed.
Yeah.
Rhaenys. Oh my goodness.
I also think the character of Aegon, he's a very good actor.
He is.
The micro acting, you know, about like, yeah, my father had 20 years to change his mind and he didn't. The sadness, the grief that sort of falls upon his face when he's in, you know, the... a carriage with his mom.
Hmm.
I thought that was some very good performance. And also like him feeling quite timid, his body language being quite shrunken, you know,
yeah.
as he's entering his coronation. It's only when there's this jubilation of the crowd, right? And then, you know, there's this sort of communal collective effect, which is one person starts clapping, another person, they'll jump on the bandwagon. It's only when he has the validation of about, thousands of people in a room, that's when he sort of like very gently lifts his sword
yeah.
up into the air.
And then a few times and that's
like, okay.
But the whole thing was icky and there's such a wish fulfillment for me of like farcical, and I won't say names, but I've seen plenty of farcical, horrible, stupid rallies.
Yeah.
That you just want a giant dragon to fucking show up. So there's so much energetic justice delivered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's so many moments in this episode, the Aemond, you know, the hunt for Aegon throughout the city.
Yeah. 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 No, I thought that was quite interesting. Obviously Aemond
mm-hmm.
is going to be very interesting as the second son, the one who feels like a more rightful heir.
He said. He laid it all out. He's usually very restrained, but yeah. then he just out of nowhere starts talking to Kristen about, I have this, I have this, I have this. But he was very out of character for him almost.
What did you think of Alicent and like her displays of like regret or guilt or something, or sympathy followed by just her going back to whatever the men are doing anyway.
We talked about this, we paused throughout the episode, from the very earliest instances of her character, there is someone who just never makes a full move, never believes a full thing, and is just so annoying. I actually have a visceral reaction to people who don't commit to a way of being.
But you know? Without her, this place would be absolute anarchy. So even this person who's just, she's this sort of willow tree, if you will, you know, just sort of going from one end to the other, just sort of bending with the wind.
Oh, if it was just Otto, this place would be crazy. Even without her,
he would be absolutely anarchic. Yeah. As we see in the very first council meeting, you know, after Viserys dies, right?
Rip which Lord Beesbury.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, rest in peace, Fleabag's dad. But, you know, just like how Sir Criston is this completely rogue knight. He's so corrupted. We are very, very far away from the man that used to that professed his love for Rhaenyra and believed in something.
Oh my god, scorned.
Oceans away from this corrupt, horrible, murderous knight, right? It's a complete corruption of the ideal. And you know, just him lying there bleeding as they're talking about, like, random council stuff. Like, it's terrifying.
Oh, God.
And so if, you know, yes, Alicent, she is half-assed about everything. But if she weren't there, God, this place would be absolutely horrific.
And she did hold back, you know, I guess effectively, as much as it's difficult with someone like Alicent to be like, what did they actually do? It's like, oh, okay, she did effectively prevent Otto from essentially sending people to murder Rhaenyra.
Yeah, for Rhaenyra to be killed immediately.
How about Otto essentially, making fun of Alicent saying her husband? She's like, my husband. It's like, oh, you mean your best friend's father?
Yeah.
Yeah? That you've been fucking and like having kids with. Yeah. I hate Otto.
Yeah.
I really despise that man.
Yeah.
But in that moment with the White Worm,
yeah,
I respected him for doing saying whatever he needed to get his goal.
He makes for a good villain, I think. He's a good villain, because he has absolute conviction in what he believes, and he will use bullshit language like, it's the will of the gods.
Yeah.
He's lost. Like, he believes in his own bullshit. Or he doesn't care. Like, he just plays the game.
Yeah.
Because he really believes in what he wants. Mm-hmm. And he wants the thing he wants, you know? Mm. So, yeah. I will say also just a little asterisk mention to the children fighting.
Oh.
That was absolutely heartbreaking. I actually could not watch it. Yeah. And I still feel a little bit sick of
They make them grow it. Their nails
like,
out.
I don't know whose idea was this, but man, like, some aspects of this show are even darker than
the first one,
Game of Thrones. You know, like, that's viscerally with kids horrible. Fighting each other. It's and a recurring theme of children
fighting
one another. Yeah. And you know, I feel just that complete loss of innocence, you know. And I think that recurring motif is an interesting one because it refers to the children of the show, you know, very much inheriting the trauma and the relationship with power of their elders.
Mm. That line, though, regarding that with Mysyria, I like that move of hers saying, I'll only let you have the prince if you promise
God
this.
Damn it.
You know, the people will only let you have the power they allow.
Yeah.
They allow you to have.
Yeah.
Which is a great reminder. You know?
Yeah. I mean, Rhaenys kind of.
Rhaenys is the power.
Showed them a kindness that I don't know they would.
Oh, Otto by the way.
Not,
oh, no.
Otto would not show them this kindness.
So, Rhaenys, you know why she stayed her hand?
Why?
It's because she's lost two children.
And also, there are Targaryens in there.
There are Targaryens. You know,
like, those
there.
Are her brother's children.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, it would have been
impossible. It's not just Hightowers
but
in there.
But you very awesomely, you were like, say it.
I was like, say it.
Say Dracarys.
Yeah.
But it just ended up being a big old screech. Live on the.
But good.
We'll do.
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Let's watch it.
I have no criticisms about this episode.
Okay.
No feedback.
But that's very good. We'll watch this, the preview. We won't do this for all of our post shows, let's do it. 1 minute. All right. We'll watch. Do our little audio reaction, I guess, whatever.
The greens are coming for you, Rhaenyra.
Yep.
And for your children.
Okay. Nice. The warning. Very good.
towers, they stole your birthright.
Ooh.
Every man standing around the painted table urges her to plunge the realm into war.
Okay.
They siege to the Red Keep.
Nice.
Send us. I swear to war to the Queen.
Nice.
Your cause owns a power that has not been seen since the days of old Valyria.
Ugh. What is that? Who is that? Pray tell. Oh my god. That looks so epic.
Very, very good.
Oh my god, I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that.
Did you see Vega?
It's a Dragunov.
It's a Dragunov.
Yeah, it'll be Aemond and Daemon, you know, the two anti-heroes on either side.
You'll have Melis. Caraxes, yeah. Probably Sea Smoke. If someone took, you know, Laenor's dragon, you know, they'll have a couple, like four or five smaller dragons against fucking Vega. It's gonna be like
Vega
Star Wars almost. They are simply reflections.
They just respond to the will of their mothers. Mothers and fathers.
To their commanders, yeah.
Oh my gosh, insane. Very, very excited. My only criticism about the show is that I didn't get to see Matt Smith.
It looks like he's going to be singing in the next one.
Yeah, I know. Oh my, see, that's what I mean. Like the gravitas of like a ruler that is ready and willing and able to step onto that pedestal, the throne, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas like Aegon is very much not that. He doesn't want it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and it was a bit sad. I mean, he's awful. Yeah. He's a rapist. He's terrible, terrible human being.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know.
And that's why I like that scene in the carriage, because you could see the boy, that sort of mournfulness.
Don't toy with me, mother.
Which is like, my father didn't like me very much, you know. He had 20 years to change his mind and he didn't. So you didn't just see the reluctance. You could also see a boy who didn't feel like he was worthy of his father's love. And, you know, I understand that. I feel like the reason that Viserys loves Rhaenyra so much is because her mother, Emma, was the great love of his life, right? So, the love that he has for that child is very different to the one that he has had for them, which is not fair to the children, but that's just what happened.
In a perfect world, Rhaenyra and Aegon have a talk.
Yeah.
And the talk they would have would be, look, hey, when I was young, I actually never thought I was going to get the throne either, you know, just like you.
Yeah.
You never thought because there was something else, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are loath to show us such.
Also, Larys is so horrible.
So fucking disgusting. Yeah, so I'm gross. Sorry, Ray.
And Alicent also knowing
why are you taking off? Oh, that's why you're taking off your stockings in front of him.
Yeah,
he has a...
Which is like...
Fetish.
You know, fetish. And also... Those are the terms of their arrangement. Like, she knows that she gains a certain favor from him, information from him, in exchange for that.
Gross.
It was just so, I was like, ugh, you suck. I hate him. I absolutely loved it. The coronation scene was one of the best scenes I have ever seen on television. A masterclass.
I will say, early on, in the sort of build-up of Rhaenys being pushed towards the Dragon Keep, what were you and I saying about... Because she's like, I won't leave Melis. I won't leave my dragon.
Mm.
Getting pushed, she peels away. What were your thoughts then of her? It's like,
I was just like, she's going to
fly off
her dragon.
Okay.
Something's going to happen, maybe a battle. I don't know. I just didn't know.
She killed so many people.
Yeah.
Like, she...
She will not be imprisoned.
She will not be imprisoned.
Are you kidding me?
I love that. It's like, you know what happens?
Look at me, when condoning. You fucking...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, absolutely, like, innocence
girl's
being
gotta
murdered.
Girl's got to do what she's got to do. She's not going to be imprisoned. She's got to, like...
What a power move.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what Eve Best signed up for. She's like, hold on.
Oh, my God.
I get to do that.
Yeah.
I get to interrupt. Well, the thing is, it actually went through. He is king. I was like... Oh, obviously something has to happen now, but no, the crown was placed, anointed and everything. So he's technically king. So, but now the battle lines are being drawn. And now it's like, okay, so you think, yeah, you think you're king?
Yeah.
Fuck off with that.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was excellent. What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah, can't wait for the finale.
All right, we'll just watch the inside of the episode, but take it easy, everybody. Bye.
Nine was always a script that we very much enjoyed because it's a thriller, it's a race against time. Finally, the king is dead, and now what?
He told me he wished for Aegon to be king.
We're getting into a new territory here where we're standing right on the brink of war. We saw this episode as a real kind of Hitchcockian suspense film.
Everything explodes and Alicent and Otto try to control the situation. So they get everyone and go into the small council chamber and try and work out what to do. Well, at least that's what Alicent thinks.
Alicent's horrified because she realizes not only is her husband dead and she has to process that, but secretly her council has been plotting for this very day to come so that they can overthrow Rhaenyra and install Aegon, her son, on the throne, which is the thing that she's wanted, but she didn't want to do it through dastardly deeds.
It's a good departure for her because she's seeing maybe this isn't the father she knew as she was growing up, but certainly this is the man that he now is.
I will not have this. To hear that you have plotted to replace the king's chosen heir.
We liked the idea that Beesbury was an honorable man at his core and a real fan of Viserys. And he seems to be this kind of doddering old man who's losing his grip a bit on his faculties. But then we love that he makes this final triumphant last stand and calls everybody in the room a liar and a traitor and then dies for it, but goes out in a very unexpected but I think honorable way.
Season one is quite an internal story about the dissolution of a family, and therefore we don't really get out much. And once we're out there, you know, we really felt we wanted to make the most of it.
Otto Hightower decided they need to murder Rhaenyra and Daemon and their whole family so as not to have an opposition. Alicent refuses to let that happen, and it sets off this race for both of them to find Aegon because each of them wants to influence him.
Where is Aegon?
Not here.
Otto sends the Cargill twins, Sir Eric and Sir Arik. Alicent goes to Cole, her loyal bulldog, who grabs Aemond as a partner and sends them out into the streets, knowing that Aemond knows what Aegon has been up to in the streets of King's Landing. And I think that's the big mystery of the episode is, who is Aegon really? Who is this man we're about to make king?
He tolerated the prince's proclivities for years. We swore an oath of service until death.
Over the course of episode 9, Eric and Arik show us that they are not in sync, particularly when it comes to Aegon as a worthy king, whereas Arik is okay with following orders. Eric feels more and more that his brother is lost. And during the capture of Aegon, Eric doesn't do anything. He allows his brother to fight Kristen Cole, but he doesn't intervene in any way, shape, or form, and then disappears.
When Aegon and Aemond have that fight, we really wanted to make it into like a sibling hatred. And Tom really dug deep and wanted to create this really tormented character versus Aemon, who is tormented, but he keeps it all hidden and under the surface.
I have no wish to rule. I'm not suited.
You get no argument from me.
There's a lot of bitterness from Aemon's side. He's built to be the king. He wants the responsibility. He thinks he'd be good at it. And Aegon being the eldest son, it falls to him to do it.
Aegon is an unlikely and unwilling king. He doesn't think his father ever really loved him enough or respected him enough to think that he was worthy of the job. And much like Daemon, Aegon just wanted to know that Viserys loved him and thought him worthy. He'll never really get that because his father died before he could say anything.
You love me.
You imbecile.
Aegon's coronation is another one of these show trials. The Hightowers really do like their staged events. But the idea is that in order for Aegon to be accepted by the people, you have to put him in front of the people and show them that he's their king. So they put on this big, grand pomp ceremony, stick the conqueror's sword in his hand, put the conqueror's crown on him, and call him king in front of the people so that the people will accept that that is Aegon their king, not realizing that this is being done without the knowledge of Dragonstone. You know, the word hasn't even reached Dragonstone yet that Viserys is dead.
So Rhaenys wakes up and realizes that she's a prisoner because should she get out, the fear is that she'll go straight to Rhaenyra and tell her what's going on.
Eric Cargill, who's had enough of Aegon and does not want to see him become king, defects from the Kingsguard and takes Rhaenys out of the castle with him right in the midst of this big roundup to witness the coronation.
We needed a penultimate scene, so we tried to come up with what's the worst thing that could possibly happen at the coronation, and realized that it was a dragon to be let loose.
Rhaenys, the queen who never was, she's a triumphal dragon rider. We wanted a triumphal moment for her at the end of the season.
We really wanted to make sure that there was meat on her character. Rhaenys was not passive, and it felt this was an incredibly valuable moment to, rather than have her just bear witness to something, be able to take part in it, but her moral standpoint become the reason for inaction rather than action.
She knows if she sets fire to that dais, she ends any possibility of war and probably sets peace throughout the realm. But I think probably doesn't want to be responsible for doing that to another mother. And it's a complex choice, and one that people might dispute or have a problem with. But that's the choice Rhaenys makes in that moment. We see her busting out and being the one that's going to take the news to Dragonstone of the coup and of Rhaenyra's throne being stolen is a great, great heroic moment for her character.